And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 97. Wait a minute, that ain't right. What are we reading? Let me double check on the episode. I forgot to change the number. No, it is 97.
So 90-something.
Yeah, it's 97. What are we reading? I am Chris Mosby.
I am Caleb Gerard.
And I am Murray Fox.
My apologies. The large amount of fried chicken that I ate today is dulling my senses. Had a nice little Father's Day dinner over here at the house, and was surprised to get an actual Father's Day card from my nephew. So that was
sweet.
Yeah, it was really cool. It kind of surprised me, but they even got me a Man of Steel shirt. So I kind of liked that. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it was. I'm getting all teary eyed just right now. Pardon me. Go ahead.
No.
But anyway, yeah, this was a good Father's Day. And we sat and watched a little Star Trek before everybody left, and my mom made fried chicken and had rolls and scalloped potatoes and corn, and it was good stuff. Good stuff.
That does sound like good stuff. I have not had my meal yet, but I did get to go to I got to go to breakfast, and then
there you go.
And we went and saw Star Trek Into Darkness.
Oh man, what an awesome movie! I've seen it twice now.
It's my second favorite Star Trek movie already.
Yeah, it was very, very, very good.
I was up in the air until the last minute whether to see that or Man of Steel, and based on reviews and just based on general conversation surrounding Man of Steel, I decided, you know what? I can wait. And I don't know how long I'll wait, but
I'm not going to wait long, because if I do, it's going to get spoiled for me. So
it's already spoiled, and I'm even less on the fence about whether to see it or not. So
I've read some things that make me a little concerned, but we'll see. What about you, Murray?
Father's Day. I mean,
I'm sorry.
Other than, you know, I'm still half a man. hunting and pecking with my right arm for the time being, which is just a ton of fun for someone who is used to touch typing.
I saw your little comment on Facebook, and I was going to say something about you being one-handed, some snarky comment, and then I realized, oh, yeah, he had some surgery stuff, so I won't make the snarky comment.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate the consideration. That's sweet. I do not wish this on anybody, and it's actually now at the point of just irritation. So
yeah,
I just want to move on with my life, but not just yet.
Okay.
There you go. So there's that.
All right.
Murray, how was your Father's Day?
It was all right. The kid made me breakfast in bed, and made me lunch.
Damn.
I could have whatever I wanted, and I elected to have peanut butter. She was properly disgusted. She was like, I can make you anything, and you want peanut butter? I said, and a milkshake. So that's what I got.
Wow. What flavor milkshake?
I think raspberry.
You think raspberry?
I wasn't too careful about what fruit was in the fridge, so whatever was there, I know it wasn't grapes, because she asked, can I put grapes in your milkshake? I was like, blech, no, don't do that.
Grapes in the milkshake, huh? Yeah, that doesn't sound too good.
Nope. But other than that, it was a good day, and I got pink flamingos for the garden.
Pink flamingos? Really?
Oh my gosh, I had pink flamingos like 100 years ago, and they're all brittle, and they're white now, and they're broken, and now I've got two bright new pink flamingos to go. I just have to figure out whether they're going in the front yard, the backyard, or both.
I see.
Now, isn't that something you could probably make that, though? I mean, you being the master artisan that you are.
I don't know that I could make a flamingo, but either way, nothing. I could never make anything as beautifully tacky as a plastic pink flamingo.
Oh, well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good to know.
I cannot wait to put them up.
Go ahead.
Did I lose you?
No, I was just saying I can't wait to put them out.
Oh, okay.
They can go to war with the gnomes, right?
Gnomes are gross.
Okay.
Gnomes are gross. Okay. That's good to know.
Your kitsch does, in fact, your kitsch quantity does, in fact, have a limit. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, gnomes are gross. Flamingos are totally where it's at.
Flamingos. Okay. Gotcha.
And patio lights. Those are always good, too.
Patio lights. I need patio lights. We need some patio lights. I realized that the other night. Yeah, I mean, not that we're gonna go. Not that we're spending a lot of time outside right now, but it still would be nice to have them.
Yeah.
Just saying for those. But we're not doing quite the patio remodification that Murray seems to be doing, but we will. Yeah.
It's awesome. Like 15 years ago, we bought a sky chair. And we've never hung it up because we never really had a place to hang it. Because really, where do you hang a sky chair?
Yeah.
Not necessarily in your living room.
I don't know what a sky chair is.
Ugh, it's like floating on a cloud. It's like a green canvas with a that you just hang from the ceiling, and it's got like little armrests, and you just float. It's so cool.
Is that like one of those things they always show in like a bordello?
I would not know.
No, you know, like in the movies, they always have the ladies of leisure, you
it's
know.
It's kind of like a hanging yarn plant holder kind of thing. Is that what you're talking about?
I think it's closer to like a sex swing, but.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, that kind of fits with what he said then.
Bordello.
Not that I've used it that way. I mean, the neighbors would talk.
Yes, they would.
Boy, did this podcast go weird all of a sudden.
No more giant moths for Murray. It's all going to be about the big sky chair now.
That's right.
I bet you, giant moths. I'm safe in my sky chair.
That's right. It's a moth-free zone.
Oh, Lord have mercy. That is so funny.
All right, so what are you reading?
First of all, who's first? Maybe spoilers here.
Okay. What are you reading?
Well, I have to say, first off, I read Superman Unchained, number one.
Nah, I looked through it. I don't think you're spoilers.
I did not like Superman Unchained, number one. I thought Superman Unchained, number one, was a bit boring.
It looked boring.
See, I didn't pick it up because I wasn't going to pay that much for...
Yeah, $5 for that damn thing? I looked at it through other means. Because I'm a little strapped for cash right now, so, you know.
Working stiff.
Yeah. Well, you know, a little extra bill in a way of a parking... not a parking ticket, a speeding ticket, so... A little extra funds diverted to that, so.
How fast were you going to put that big a dent in your...
Well, you see, it's in this little speed trap of an area called Duquesne. It's like a street, basically, that goes from one end of Joplin to the other, and there's like a little township there. And I was going 46 in a 35-mile-an-hour zone. So that's like... It's not good.
Basically, somebody is picturing my cousin Vinny. Like they're gonna put you on trial for something.
Yeah, I already paid it, so I just sent it in and went on down the road. So.
Okay, Mr. Mosby, you criminal.
Yeah, I know. So I went back to my pirating ways temporarily. I'll go back and buy them all later, just like I always do.
Well, they didn't like it. It was boring.
Huh?
recommend against Superman Unchained number one.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I was getting at. I already had it downloaded, and I opened it up and kind of flipped through it, or arrowed through it, and it didn't look interesting at all. It just looked like a bunch of big splash pages with some words.
And Jim Lee's still got chops. Don't.
Oh, yeah, you know, he can...
He's got some amazing chops there, but I was reminded pacing wise of the last Jim Lee Superman story that I read, or sort started to read but never finished.
Which was that the one where they redid him for a while?
No, it was when he was sitting around talking to the priest for 12 issues.
Well, that sounds familiar.
Is that the Brian Azzarello one?
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
I don't recall what the title of that story was, but it was boring as well. God help him if they can't make Superman exciting.
Yeah, it's kind of sad, isn't it?
He hits stuff, the ship blows up, and that should be easy to do if you're a decent writer, I would think. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
And I would think that the writer in this,
Scott Snyder.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's supposed to, he's a great writer.
He does good stuff, so it was, like, is he setting stuff up, do you think, or it just didn't work for you?
It just didn't work for me. I don't know what I was expecting, and maybe, you know what, let me kind of go back and preface everything by saying, I'm not a Superman fan to start with, so, you know, it's always going to be a tough sell to get me on board with a Superman book.
Right.
But John Byrne did it. John Byrne got me on board.
Well, that was a relatively big deal, too.
Yeah, Marv Wolfman got me on board. Jerry Ordway got me on board. The list, Kurt Swan stuff, Kerry Bates, etc. But... I don't know. There was a line that was an invisible line in the sand where I just wasn't able to continue liking the character. He's a good team player, but about this, just didn't.
Yeah, I don't know that they actually needed another one of those. You know.
Yeah, and he was never actually chained up either. So what's that about?
I don't know.
Okay then. Again, beautiful stuff, really detailed art, Jim Lee. I know that he's got a lot of detractors. I don't think either one of you are detractors of Jim Lee, but
no.
I would say, again, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, a solid 6 just because of the art. But unfortunately, that's as good as it's going to get for me.
Yeah. I can understand that. So what else you been reading?
I've been reading the Django Unchained adaptation, which is really good.
Yeah, I need to watch that movie. I just haven't had a chance. Okay.
If you don't mind violence and excessive use of the N-word.
Well, considering what time frame that's supposed to be in, you shouldn't really be surprised.
No. But some people are ultra sensitive to it.
Yeah, this is true.
I don't think I'd want to read it.
I don't know. I'd like to see the movie because the cast looks really good. But reading a thing for it, I don't know about that.
Now why would you? What would hold you back from reading it, Murray?
I would be uncomfortable with the language, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, after a while it gets a little old, I bet.
But, I don't know. It just doesn't... I don't know. I'm not into big, deep, dark, real, gritty... I don't know. I don't know enough about the movie, actually. So maybe if I saw the movie, I would enjoy it. And then I would go pick up the book, but...
Yeah.
To watch the movie... It's like any other. It's like you take any other Quentin Tarantino movie, put it in a spaghetti western setting, and that is what he's made, wise and script wise. And I am a fan of Quentin Tarantino, and I like the spaghetti western, so I was the target audience for it. And Reggie Hudlin, is doing the adaptation. He was also part of the team that actually worked on the movie. Mm-hmm. It's doing a really good job of adapting it, and it's more in depth even than the movie. It's actually straight from the script.
Oh, okay, that should be interesting then.
Yeah, nothing left on the cutting room floor. That's something else I'm reading. Hey, man, you guys must be reading something.
Oh, me? Who's next?
Doesn't matter.
Go for it. Money Mo.
Let's see. What am I reading? Well, the thing I've been reading the most would be, lately, since I kind of cut down on the regular stuff, and I got a lot of stuff I bought in sales and never read, and something made me think of one of the things I picked up was the Richard Stark Parker adaptations. And I kind of, the first time I ever got exposed to any of that, when I was talking about it a little bit before the podcast, there's a movie called Payback that was with Mel Gibson. And that was an awesome movie. And I happened to catch one of the times it was on and I watched it, that it was based on a Richard Stark novel called The Hunter, which is the first Parker novel. Now, they didn't call him Parker in the movie, which I did some research on Wikipedia, and they was only movies he approved of, you know, got to use that Parker name. And I had read that he had gotten Darwin Cook had gotten his approval to use Parker in it because he loved the art and what he had done with it. It's very supposedly supposed to be a lot closer to the book. And apparently they deviated a lot from the book, which you can tell if you read the adaptation of it. And they even let Mel Gibson's production company is what got hold of it and kind of toned it down for American audiences, supposedly. And I guess they let the director go with his original version, and they did a re-filming of it, or a director's cut of it. And it's on DVD. I kind of like to get that and get it. But anyway, that's kind of how I got into knowing about that, and I've been wanting to get those for a long time, and they're on sale for, like, I don't know how much, it was $5 or $6 a piece. So I couldn't pass that up. Well, with that in mind, you know, that's what I picked up. I went back and downloaded them and read them, and man, those are good. I'm almost done with the third one, and from what I read, there's supposed to be another one, but I don't have any idea. I'd have to do some research. But,
Working on those, the comic book adaptations?
Darwin Cook.
Darwin Cook. Awesome. Awesome sauce.
Oh, yeah. It's great. And they did one called The Outfit and The Score, which is the best one so far, I think. And like I said, I did some research on it, and this guy did a whole bunch of these novels with this character, and some of the sub-characters that show up more than a few times ended up having their own novels. These are crime noir, basically. And one of the things that Richard Stark, which is actually another guy, but that's the pseudonym he used. I can't remember his other name. But he had one of the things that Darwin Cook had done, which is different from a lot of the movies, is he brought it back to its original 1962 time frame, which is around the time that he wrote them. And this Parker character is the consummate, you know, he's a, he's a professional criminal and very brutal. And, you know, if you've ever seen the movie Payback, you kind of get an idea. And, it's really good stuff. You know, it's so far away from the superhero stuff I usually read. And this guy's so brutal, but he still has kind of a moral code. And so you find yourself rooting for this guy. But, of course, most of the people he deals with are just as bad or worse as he is. So it's not like, you know, he's kicking puppies or anything. So
his character wasn't very nice in Payback. So
no. And he's even worse in the actual book. A lot more brutal. But yeah, it's good stuff. And I even found a bunch of reprinting of his books. The Kindle editions are only $4 a piece. Which I plan on getting one and reading them. And it's really good stuff because I love Darwin Cook anyway. And then to read that, it is awesome stuff. It really is. Because, you know, his art and his writing together, that's when it's really good stuff. So really enjoying it. I did read the latest Batman with Year Zero or Zero Year. And I have to tell you, the big deal is they're kind of rewriting history a little bit to kind of make it fit to the times, which I don't think has ever really been done. It's been done with Superman several times, but I don't think it's really been done to this detail of Batman as, and so far I'm enjoying it. They're not trying to ignore certain pieces, they're just explaining it a little different. And, which what they did with the penny, where that came from, that was pretty cool. So, yeah, it's good stuff. I'm really enjoying that. What else we got?
Based on that, and based on Superman and Chain, I think Scott Snyder should stick with Batman.
That kind of stuff, because he does a lot of horror stuff. You know.
Yeah, he was working on Swamp Thing, and he's moved on from that. And I actually like the new Swamp Thing stuff, but if given my choice, I'd say stick with Batman and move on from Superman.
maybe he just needs a couple of issues under his belt.
Yeah,
because really, I'd like to see someone good, really good, on Superman and. And he looks like he's got the chops. So I don't know. Not that I looked at the first issue because I didn't. But but I'd like to think that he's going to be able to take the character and do some cool stuff with him.
There goes Batman right now.
Yes, he was driving right by.
That's funny. I'll be you the bird as you drove by.
Yeah, that's it. So,
you know, and I don't want to prejudice it, but and again, that issue of Batman though was fun. I liked young, fresh off the boat Bruce Wayne back in Gotham.
It was good.
Now is that Kane? Is that Kane character? Is he any relation to like Kane of Catwoman?
You mean Batwoman?
Batwoman, I guess.
Yeah. One of the this series kind of straddles on the line of post and pre and post New 52, but there was the story that Higgins. Kyle Higgins writes Nightwing, and one that Scott Snyder wrote called Gates of Gotham. Batman Gates of Gotham, yeah. That's where they established that. The Kanes is one of the original families.
That's right. You're right. Of course, I forgot about that.
The Kanes, Waynes, whatever Hush's family was. And the Cobblepots. Yeah, so yeah, that's where all that came from. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would love to see up on like Scott Snyder's wall, like how he's got like 3x5 cards just taped up with the whole timeline and all the family connections and stuff.
Yeah, he's a good planner. Even though I did think that the death of the family. Pardon me. Storyline went a little too long. It was pretty good, but you can tell they really planned that out. So,
yeah, sort of.
Absolutely.
I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Murray Stern. Murray must be reading something.
I was. I read a lot this weekend. I read The Underwater Welder by Jeff Lemire.
Oh, cool.
I picked it up, probably in March, I think. It's just been sitting on my pile of stuff to read in my summer reading pile, and since summer is almost here, I started reading it. And I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it a lot. It was, I think I like his Essex County trilogy probably more than I liked The Underwater Welder, but it's still a good, mm-hmm. It's a good book. It's a good read.
What is The Underwater Welder?
Yeah, what is that about exactly?
Well, it is about a guy in his 30s, and he lives in Nova Scotia, and he is one of those guys that welds on oil rigs out in the ocean. So he does that underwater, so he's the underwater welder. And
nice segue.
Yes, there you go.
The Roger.
Yeah. So he's kind of the main character, and it follows his he's kind of got some daddy issues. Like it's a story about fathers and sons and mm-hmm.
Okay.
What else can I say? His dad passed away when he was very young, and so he's kind of always been searching for his dad, or not like not that he thinks his dad. It's not like a did he die, did he not die sort of thing. He died, but he's kind of searching for a mm-hmm. father replacement, or he feels like he's missing something, or it's a very personal sort of story, and then it takes kind of a Twilight Zone-y twist about halfway through where he's kind of going through a midlife crisis because he's in his mid-30s and he's having his first kid, and his first kid's just about to be born, and he's still got issues with his dad, and he's about to become a dad, and, mm-hmm. and he's kind of pulling away from his family, and then he goes underwater and starts welding, and he sees what he thinks is maybe his father or maybe a stopwatch his father gave him years ago, and then it all kind of takes a twist into the Twilight Zone, and I mean it finishes up really well. It's a good read. It's not that it's not a good read, but
mm-hmm.
I found his Essex County trilogy got me a little more. Like it pulled at my heart a little more than this one. This one I got like a little sniffle at the end, and that was about it. Whereas the other one I was a little more deeply affected. So, but it's still a good read. I would highly recommend it to anyone. Mm-hmm. His art's great. Kind of does like a gray wash watercolor throughout, so it's all black and white, but black and white and kind of gray, and it's really pretty stuff if you like his style. His style is very distinctive. So
yeah, I'm not as big a fan of his art as his writing. I think I like his writing, but his art,
you have to like it. Yeah, because it's kind of, I don't want to say cartoony, but it's not. It's
that's
certainly
what
not
I would,
from the realistic style.
I would call it. But
cartoony, yeah, to a point. But it's definitely not from like mm-hmm. the realism. But no. I like it. So I read that one. That was good. Mm-hmm. And I am reading. Oh shoot! It's a novel by Tom King. And I picked it up at Super Show. And shoot, what's it called? It's really good too. Is it After the Capes or
After the Cape?
I don't think that's it. It's something like that though. It's shoot. Someone Google that. Tom King, first novel. Someone else Google it. It's really good. It's
you're talking about an actual novel?
Yeah, like a book, like with like a hardcover and pages.
Let's see. Thomas King, English boxer, no, American biologist?
No, American FBI guy.
Irish footballer? No. British conservative politician? No.
Oh my gosh, no.
Songwriter?
No.
There's one, see, Tom King, writer for American television series.
Maybe.
Thomas King, novelist. Canadian novelist and broadcaster.
No.
Canadian politician?
No.
Stronger. I'm here on the Wikipedia. It's got like 50 of them, dude.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Tom King.
There's a writer for
novel.
Me. Let's see.
Hero. A Once Clouded Sky. That's what it's called.
Once Clouded Sky. That sounds right.
Clouded. Yeah. So it's like a. It's his take on kind of the DC Crisis. So you've got this big.
Huh.
You've got like this. They call it the Blue Sky event, and this big blue thing before the book started is ready to like destroy the world, and all the heroes get together and they give up their powers to this one ultimate Superman-like guy, and he takes their powers and he flies into the blue void and destroys it, and the world is saved, and all the heroes are left without any powers, and they're going back to their regular life, and it's a cool read so far. I'm like only into like the first 100 pages or whatever, but it's really good. There's like it's neat. He starts the book like a comic. So you open it up and you get a couple of panels of the heroes flying up into the void, and then as you flip through you get into like actual real chapters, and he titles each of the chapters after one of the heroes' characters. So Tales to Amaze number 632, and he tells it from that hero's point of view, and it's just kind of following at this point how their lives have changed and what's happening in their city, and you've got one little recurring character who's kind of coming around who's constantly mentioning that they'll all be back because this has happened a million times before. I mean, the heroes always come back, but of course, this time none of them came back. And
oh yeah, I'm looking on Amazon, has a preview of it. You can actually look inside.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes, it's good. It's a good read so far. Highly recommended.
You know, I was at the local used bookstore, which there are very few of left, by the way. Spotted a book, and I should have bought it. I'm going to download it. I think it's called The Seven Spiritual Laws of Superheroes. by Deepak Chopra and his kid Gotham Chopra.
Okay.
It talks about comparing the superheroes to various spiritual figures, like comparing Batman to Buddha, to Hanuman, and so on. And it kind of goes into this. I mean, and Deepak Chopra knows what he's talking about, so it's not like you know, it's some schmuck off the street talking about. Spirituality. It sounded interesting. I should have picked it up. Now I feel like an idiot for not.
That's okay. You can go back.
I can. Or, like I said, I can get a Kindle edition for less than $10.
Yeah.
There you go.
Though that does not support the local economy when I do that. So.
True. Now, if you look, there's a lot of Kindle books and some of the others that there's a lot of people actually writing novels like that about superheroes. I'm just kind of scaling through here. There's several of them like that. Very interesting.
I think that you know, what was his name? Something Mayer. Was it Robert Mayer when he did that? Yes, Robert Mayer when he did Super Folks. Have you ever read that?
I've heard of it, yeah. Now that you mention of it.
When the reason I was saying it, because, you know, Murray, that book you were talking about was kind of the same feel where it's, you know, you've got all these superheroes and they've kind of quit, but no one really believes they've quit. And it's one night in the life of this one Superman. He's kind of a lower-level powered Superman-type character, kind of getting dragged back into being a superhero. But after years, and he's got a pot belly, and you know, and things are not. It's kind of real worldish, so kind of like Astro City like. I think that actually, what's Busick does give credit to Robert Mayer for Astro City. So what is that one? It's called Into the Crowded Sky.
Once a Crowded Sky.
Once a Crowded Sky.
A Once Crowded Sky.
A Once Crowded Sky. Yeah, okay. I see it now.
Quickly. Put the show notes. or not. Whatever.
Of course.
I was looking on another computer.
Throw things at the wall instead. I don't care. Whatever.
I'm getting it.
All right. That's fine.
There we go.
What else have I read? I read... I got the only free comic book day book called The Strangers.
Yes, I heard about that. That's our Chris Roberson, right?
Yeah, Chris Roberson and...
I noticed that... didn't it seem like last year, just a quick tangent, that they put the free comic book day stuff on digital? But there was none of it this year.
It took a while. Like, it took a good month or two because I only downloaded it, like, in the last week or so. So, okay. When was Free Comic Book Day? The beginning of May?
Yeah, for second Saturday of May.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, continue. About a month later, I got it on Oni, and it was good. It's got a real 1960s Doom Patrol feel to it, so naturally I loved it. But,
yeah. Yeah, I was reading something on Bleeding Cool about that they had to change the name to some because of something else that was written, was his original title. I think it was called The Strangers, and he had to change it to Mysterious Strangers or something like that.
I think so, yeah. I think there's already a property out there called The Strangers, so they've changed the title. But either way, it's it's cool. It's another one of those series that takes place in the 60s, and there's lots of spies, and there's goofy villains, and the strangers you've met them all, I think. You don't get to know a whole lot about them, but they're they're very, very interesting. Like there's the guy in the wheelchair, there's the beautiful girl, there's the wisecracking big muscle guy, and there's the mysterious other dude. So there you go. They're very close to the, you know, like it's very, very much like a Doom Patrol sort of takeoff.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and it's neat. They've got these, it's not quite spelled out for you yet, but they're all wearing gloves, and when they take off their gloves, they've got these secret symbols on their hands, and that's probably got something to do with their powers, and it's... I liked it. I liked it a lot. I've read it and reread it and reread it again.
So it's a free comic book day offering. Does that mean that Oni has a non-free comic book series of it?
I think so. Like
thinking
the,
of it. Yeah.
I think...
I would think they would be.
I think issue one is supposed to be coming out in June, or maybe it's issue two that's coming out in June. Maybe the free comic book day was number one. I want to say middle of June. No, because we're already in the middle of June. So middle of July. Maybe middle of July is when the second issue is coming out.
Like post, like right, like San Diego time, probably.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah.
So it'll be. Yeah, I believe it's an ongoing series, not a mini series. So it's one I will add to my list.
Dun, dun, dun. And it's from Oni Press. On the Roberson kick, I have fallen a bit behind on my monkey brain, but I've caught up.
Yeah, in, I need to.
Titles and High Crimes. Oh my God, that book is good.
That didn't click with me right off the bat, so I need to look at that again.
And I know it's not Roberson doing the book, but he should be proud as the publisher to have snatched this one up.
They seem to be really proud of it, it seems like, when we were interviewing them. So,
yeah, it's a good series. I like it.
Number three. It was one of those ones where it was hopping back and forth in time. And at first I was like, I was a little irritated with the pacing, but it really caught on after just a couple pages. Those guys, hopefully they don't fall behind again. This is about 2 months since number two, so they fell a little bit off schedule. But I'm hoping, based on their text page, that they're not going to do that again. Because I had actually forgotten about the book, which is a shame.
Did you? Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that happens. I mean, good Lord, there's so much stuff out there these days, you know?
And plus, Monkey Brain really doesn't publicize their stuff.
Well, if you subscribe to their blog, they send an email out for every time something comes out.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, but then they're preaching to an insular audience where they
true.
Be reaching out a little broader than that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
TV commercials. They need TV commercials.
Yeah.
We have a book about scavengers on Mount Everest.
I know at least one person that would find that interesting. I know a guy I used to work with, Mike. He was studying all this stuff about that, you know, climbing Mount Everest and all that other climbing stuff. He probably would think that was an interesting book. I might have to suggest it to him.
Quick, find Mike.
Oh, he's just an IM away.
Get that son of a bitch on the phone now.
Skype right now. Dear Mike, read this now.
Dear Mike.
Oh, do you know what else I picked up from
Monk's Creek
that I loved?
What?
Subatomic Party Girls.
I think I saw an ad for that on something.
It's funny. It is, who's it by? It's by Chris Sims and Chad Bowers.
Yeah, sounds
good. Art is by Erica Henderson, and it's kind of like Josie and the Pussycats in space. That's about it. Josie and the Pussycats in space. If you ever saw that cartoon, this comic is that cartoon.
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Uh-huh. It's three girls, a little pop band. They're going to be the first band to play on the moon. And their names, like the bad guys' names. Holly Dolcross, which is French for double cross, sort of.
Yes,
and
gotcha.
Dr. Alphonse Sabotage.
thanks for clearing that up. That makes more sense.
What does that mean? That is so vague. I don't understand that one.
So, of course, on their way to the moon, they get stranded or they get zapped through like a space hole or something, and they end up meeting a bunch of aliens, and that's kind of where the first issue ends. But it's funny, and the art is cool. It's like, what is it kind of like? It's kind of like... Well, it's cartoony. It's cartoony. Mm-hmm. I like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was funny. I loved it. I would like the second issue to be out now, actually. That's what I would like.
Well, just send an email to him and get him on it.
They're the hottest power pop trio in the world.
They are.
And it's Monkey Brain. Look at that. Mm.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. It is.
I was looking at the price. I'm like, it's 99 cents. I actually thought, wow, that's like Monkey Brain prices. And then I turned my head ever so slightly to the right, and there's Monkey Brain.
Well, son of a biscuit.
Yep. It's funny, and it's good.
Oh, we mentioned Batman 21 and Unchained, Superman Unchained. I was just looking on Bleeding Cool for that article or in something else, and apparently... Batman number 21 outsold Superman Unchained.
Well, that's no shock. I mean,
no, it's not.
Outsold, like, in terms of...
Well, no, I take that back. It was beat Superman Unchained in this week's Bleeding Cool bestseller list. Okay, just scratch that completely. It didn't have anything to do with sales. It's just the Bleeding Cool people and... There. Okay. So,
gotcha.
Continue on.
And we all know about Bleeding Cool people.
Yeah, well, you know.
Almost as bad as those outhouse people.
Oh, you're going to get somebody mad.
Oh, yes, because he never gets mad on that.
Well, you know, I don't really think he gets mad. I think he just likes to argue.
You think?
Evan, you know, I mean, hey, we love you, Evan, but, you know, I mean, yeah, so.
Frickly, yeah. Man.
But that's okay. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, you know? In fact, you've started some of the best conversations on our Facebook page ever, you know? You and Chris Walsh, bring life to our forum.
Started and finished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish I could have met him here when he at the Phoenix Con. But
yeah, I wish I could have gone to Super Show. I'd like to meet Paul and the guys
next year.
Start talking.
I'll start saving up now. I might have to have us sell some action figures to the San Cristo Super Show Fund. I'm seriously doing that, thinking about that, putting it on our Facebook page. Here, I'm selling all this crap, and all proceeds go to send me to Super Show Fund.
Or paper eating tickets.
Yeah, that too. We could do that. Let's see. What else are we reading?
I'm actually reading... The prose novel that I'm reading right now is the first Jack Reacher book.
I thought about that, but I think I'm going to pick up one of those Parker ones first, but go ahead.
No, it's called The Killing Floor, and it's actually, I hate to say it, I picked it up because they made a movie out of Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
What's the deal? It's a series of books.
It's been out for a long time, from what I understand.
It has, and it's really good. It's really well written, and I cannot for the life of me picture Tom Cruise as this character.
I heard. A lot of fans of the books couldn't believe it either. Now, whether he pulled it off or not, I have to watch. So
I would say it's got to be as bad as when they cast him as in Interview with the Vampire as Lestat.
Yeah, I hadn't read any of those books, so I had no frame of reference for that one.
Have you read the Interview with the Vampire books, Murray?
Oh. Yeah, I read them all a long time ago when I was in university. Was that a long time ago?
Long enough.
Yeah, long enough, yeah, I would say.
I enjoyed them. I liked them, but yeah, I don't know that Tom Cruise is a Lestat type of character.
He's not a Jack Reacher type character either. I mean, the guy is like, the character is 6'2", built like a...
Oh, I know.
Built like a brick house, and Tom Cruise is, 5'9", 5'10"?
Yeah, he's a small little guy.
and there's nothing... I mean, it's the same as, casting an American as an Englishman or something like that. You can do it if they can get away with it, but...
Yeah.
That's part of the character is the build. But I'll tell you, this book is really well written. The pacing is really good. The characters are really rich. I'm not usually one for these kinds of almost spy novelish type things. I read one of the Bourne books, the first one. I didn't like it very much. I mean, I read it all the way through, but I wasn't like, oh, I got to go get the next one. I read a Clancy book here or there and whatever. But this, I may pick up another one of these just to see if he can still write as well as he did in the first one.
Yeah, I might have to get one of those too.
I think his last name is Lee, I want to say. But if you're looking for, it's a longer book. I mean, it's about 450 pages, so it's not short, but it's reading quick for my speed. I mean, that's a month for me, so.
The prose books that I've been trying to read again, I haven't been very successful. I've been playing way too many computer games, but, they did the Star Trek Online expansion, and, finally that game is like it's supposed to have been when it launched almost 4 years ago. But that's a whole other podcast. Back when I was in, 86-ish, 16, 17 years old. They came out with a series of books, and it's edited by George R. R. Martin, and it's a mosaic novel, and I've mentioned it. I think I've mentioned this at least two or three times on this podcast. It's called Wild Cards Consortium, and they started reprinting them with new material, and I've got the first two, and the third one's on pre-order. I think it's supposed to come out February next year, and I've been going through and reading those. Of course, I have all the first printing, a majority of the first printing paperbacks. So, once I find them, I might just start reading them too, try to figure out what's been added. And, it's really good stuff. It's about this, This alien race makes this weapon, which is a virus, and they decide they want to test it. So they, and this is back in at the end of World War II. They decide they want to test it on Earth, and this guy who ends up calling himself Dr. Tachyon, he's from this planet, and he tries to stop it and fails. Well, the virus, you get infected with it. Three things happen, and that's where the wild cards thing comes in. You get the Black Queen, which you die, which is like 90%. The rest of them, the largest majority of them get with a Joker, which they're misfigured in some way. They turn into a humanoid lizard, or they have a lobster claw for a hand, or something like that.
Nice.
And then the rest of them, the lowest percentage of them get what draw an ace, which is some kind of superpower, or you know, like wings where you can fly. And one of them was this actor, and he gets this deal where he gets super strength, and when something's going to harm him, this energy shield goes around him, and it's golden energy, so they end up calling him Golden Boy. And they basically, from that point on, they explore this alternate history of Earth. Instead of communists being the target of Senator McCarthy, it's these heroes, the people with the wild card virus that are aces. There's a bunch of them that the government was using. The Golden Boy is one of them, and you know, this political crap came up, and they're the ones that got brought in front of the un-American House Un-American Committee, or whatever they called that back then.
UAC, yeah.
Yeah, UAC, exactly. And it's just gone through the years. I think they finally made it to regular times, but it's just a great series of books. And there's these real big science fiction writers that write different. They have a character that is theirs, and they write it, and there might be a chapter or two in the book. So each book might have five or six different authors in it. There's people like George R. R. Martin. I think he has a couple, but he's usually the editor. And they're supposed to make a sci-fi either miniseries or just like a two-hour movie on recently, because he's gotten all that press from Game of Thrones. But Melissa M. Snodgrass has written a whole bunch of Star Trek episodes and other stuff. I'm trying to Walter John Williams. I can't think of any of them right now, but. And I did more research on it, and what it was, all these science fiction writers just happened to live in the same area, and they would get together and play role-playing games every once in a while. And one they did was the early Champion system. I don't know if anybody's heard of that, but it was the very first, very early superhero role-playing game. And this series came out of those role-playing sessions. All these characters that are in these books were characters that these writers played. And they just took their campaign and turned it into novels. And they've been writing off and on since 86. There's probably 45, 50 books, I think. I'm not really sure. There's a bunch of them. And they're just awesome. So that's one of the things I've been trying to read. Hello? We still there?
No, I'm here. Yeah.
Yes, sorry. No.
Okay, no, that's fine. I just it got quiet. But yeah, in fact, there one of the more recent ones, Paul Cornell actually got asked to write one of the stories. I think it was in, I'm trying to think of what the name of it was. I don't remember, but one of his books. One of his stories is in, I think it's about Joker Town, I think. That's where in New York. It's kind of like a Chinatown, but that's where all the Jokers ended up. And it's a great series of books. If you've ever written any alternate history type books, it's really good stuff.
Hopefully he makes it more, or hopefully Cornell makes it more interesting than he did Wolverine. So.
Yeah, here we go. Contributors to the series include Roger Zeleny, Lewis Shiner, Walter John Williams, Park Hannigan, Howard Waltrop, Leanne C. Harper, Chris Claremont, Victor Milan, John J. Miller, Neil Gaiman's put some stuff in there. Let's see. Oh, wait, no. Oh, this is funny. Gaiman pitched a idea to George R. R. Martin, and he declined it, and then he ended up using that as Sandman.
Oh.
Sandman was an original, a character that was originally came up for the Wild Card series. Little bit of, I did not know that till I just read this.
Hmm.
So there you go.
Well, that all worked out, I think.
Yeah. So, good stuff.
I think they both ended up doing just fine.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Let's see, how many books are we talking here?
Well, you guys know that I'm not a big Jonathan Hickman fan, but East of West has been awesome. So, number three was great read.
Okay, I've heard good things about it. What is it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. East of West, I've heard of that too.
It's kind of like, it's a Western, though. Mm-hmm. And it's about this character, Death. He is taking revenge. Kind of, again, it's very spaghetti Western-ish. He's kind of heading through the world to take revenge on these people that wronged him, that, you know, he thinks killed his wife and destroyed his life. And he's got his two Indian sidekicks along with him who've also been wronged. But I'm blanking on what exactly was done to them. But it's an alien world. It's got a Western feel, but an alien world. And he's being pursued by the four horsemen of the apocalypse, who are kids, who are just having a real riotous time with the whole thing. It's a great companion piece to Saga. I can see.
Ew.
Yes. It's got that same. It's got a similar pacing to Saga, actually. A lot happens off panel.
Mm-hmm.
But the writer is skilled enough to not completely, you know, to not lose the audience if they're smart enough to read what's actually written and drawn on the page. Again, like Saga.
Interesting.
I mean, again, I said it, I don't know whether it was last week or the week before, that it's just, you know, who'd have thunk that Image would be one of the go-to publishers for quality books,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to, you know, the big two.
They get some good stuff every once in a while. I need to catch up on Invincible again. I don't know where I left off, but I need to do that.
Yeah, I would say lately they've been pretty good. They've had a couple of missteps, Image, but
yeah.
So here's the description on Comixology. Things that divide us are stronger than the things that unite us. A sci-fi western set in dystopian America.
Okay.
Well,
you
know, it's supposed to be America. Well, duh. Where all hopes for the future rests on the four horsemen of the apocalypse, who just happen to be trying to kill the president of the United States.
Okay.
One of the most exciting new books of the past year. I did not know that they were trying to kill the president. Again, subtle little things in the advertisement I didn't get from the actual book, but that's okay. That is actually okay. There's a good characterization, good dialogue. Again, it's subtle dialogue. It's not like in-your-face describing dialogue. It forces you to, again, look at the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
This Nick Dragata, who draws it, is very good at filling in the missing words with art.
Yeah.
Which they're taking full advantage of the fact that it is pictures and words. And I'm glad for that. I know a lot of writers don't allow their artists to tell parts of the story. They think of it as just eye candy. But
yeah.
This is definitely, again, I Murray, yeah, I know you're a huge fan of Saga. I think you would really appreciate this title.
Yeah. I will read that soon.
Check
while.
It out.
That's another book I've bought issues of and haven't read.
And it's only up to number three. I mean, you got one and two for $2 each on Comixology, with number three still at $3. But as long as they don't follow DC's
Yeah,
it'll be down to $2 here in a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
And again, I am hardly the biggest Jonathan Hickman fan, but this is where he should stay. Not that the his superhero stuff it's not the best place for his ultra thinky stuff.
Ultra thinky stuff.
It is thinky. I mean,
awesome. That's a good way to put it, man.
Who wants to read a thinky Avengers book?
Yeah, right.
Not me for much longer.
Yeah, that Avengers book is borders on the metaphysical almost. You know, it's like reading a Zen textbook or something sometimes. It's like, what?
It's very Zen. It is definitely.
What the hell is he talking about?
Oh, God, I don't know 25% of the time. It's freaking Wolverine talking. It should be pretty straightforward. It's Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep, I agree totally.
Okay, cool.
That's good stuff. All right.
Go.
So, East of West. Put it on your to-buy, to-read list, whatever. Yeah. Your to-get list.
East of West. I'll have to check that out.
Expect to be challenged.
Oh, no. There's not any math, is there?
Yes, there's math. It's just like reading mind management where you have to... No, I'm kidding. It's nothing like mind management.
It's funny. I was playing old Star Trek Online mission I haven't played in a couple years, and there was actually a thing where you got to unlock the security console to turn the satellite off. Anyway. And it was a bunch of formulas. You actually had to... I had to get a calculator out and figure it all out to get the sequence to continue. I'm like... It's like the first thing I thought of was Murray saying, I was told there would be no math.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking Star Trek, there should be no math.
Yeah, but anyway, it's... Video game. Oh, hello. Too much noise. Okay. Yeah, that's what's going on here. What else we got?
I'm debating my DC purchases going forward. I'm not looking forward to very many DC books, so
I'll update
you on that.
Really? Yeah. I've been reading a lot of Marvel just out of curiosity for the Marvel Now, and almost Hawkeye's the only one I really think about keeping. Well, that's not true. Daredevil. And now the Indestructible Hulk that Wade's doing, it doesn't have his usual, I don't know,
je ne sais quoi?
Yeah, something. It's just slightly off. I'm not sure what. But I hunted some of those down that I had bought and hadn't read yet. And Daredevil, I'm enjoying a whole hell of a lot more than that in that Hulk book of his. So... I mean, it's still good, but I guess I've never really been a big Hulk fan, though I have to admit this is probably one of the best interpretations of Hulk, the whole Banner Hulk thing. They're getting equal billing in it, so it's still, I mean, I'm still engaged, I guess you could say, but the fact that it's $3.99 is like, you know... It's almost that's kind of where I'm getting to the point where just about anything except for a few exceptions, like Batman, of course. well, just the Scott Snyder stuff. I'm not sure about all of the Batman stuff, but I take that back. Batman and Robin, gotta keep that one. But if it's $3.99, I'm almost like just out of general principle, almost not interested in it. You know. So, anyway, that's just it.
It's painful.
Yeah, I know. It's the price is getting so bad that... It's taken away from the enjoyment of the comic almost. Don't you guys feel that way just a little bit?
I'm back.
We back?
I'm back.
Caleb isn't back yet. Not quite. No answer. All right, we had a little internet droppage. Boys and girls, trying to get the boys back on. We have Murray. Caleb is, because I was sitting there and I thought I said something that actually offended you guys because you guys were so quiet. And I'm like, hello? Hello?
I don't know what you would have said.
There he is. Let me try to get him back on here.
Phew.
One second. Boys and girls. We need Caleb on one more time. Come on, Caleb.
He's trying to answer, but he's only got one hand to do it.
Oh, that's right. Let's see. Where is that thing? There's that thing for that call. Invite the group call. There we go. Hello?
No, he's not there.
Well, he's online. About it. Yeah, he just IM'd me.
Mm-hmm.
One more time. Okay. You back?
Sure.
Okay, sorry about that. Had some kind of internet droppage. Got completely kicked you guys off. Anyway, what was I saying? Price is taken away from the...
$3.99. Too much.
Huh? $2.99. Yeah, it's taken away from the enjoyment of the comic. And I was asking for your opinion. It was dead silence. So, what do you think?
We had no opinion, Chris. We were opinionless.
Obviously. You were so quiet when I said that. Asked you.
Mm-hmm. I pay $3.99 for a comic that is not from the big two.
Okay, I'm with you on that.
And I don't know why that is, but I don't like paying $3.99 for a comic from DC or Marvel, unless I'm getting more for it. Like,
yeah,
when DC does $3.99 and their books have extra pages, I'm okay with that.
Yes. Yeah, see, because all those Valiant books, I don't think for a second for dropping $3.99 on those. Mm-hmm. I just do it, you know? What about you, Caleb?
Oh, no, I'm in agreement. I'm buying East and West fresh off the rack. I will absolutely buy Archer and Armstrong and Harbinger right off the rack.
Okay.
Well, so to speak.
I mean, yeah.
the virtual rack. I think maybe one or two from the big, probably five from the big two that I will pay first week or first month prices for.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of them, that's what I was saying before. I'm either dropping or I don't know. It's becoming a point where I'm really not looking forward to them, and I'm not caring enough. And, you know, as we were going through, what are you reading? I was looking at the stuff I've read over the last month, and the things that appealed to me and things that I wanted to comment on. And, you know, I would love to talk more about Wolverine and the X-Men, which I think is awesome, or Avengers Arena, which I think is awesome. And then I'm going through, and the new Swamp Thing writer, he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing else, and Green Arrow. And of course Hawkeye and Daredevil. And then beyond that, I'm struggling to say, oh yeah, I really want to spend, you know, $2.99, $3.99 for a DC or Marvel book. But yeah, if Image were to say, hey, we're $3.99, I would feel like it was $3.99. If I spent $3.99, I would feel like it was well spent. Though I'm you know, even that, you know, it started to be $3.99. That's four freaking dollars.
Yeah.
That's a happy meal, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. And then we get something I'd said in the past. Episodes of TV series on Amazon Prime are $1.99 and $1.89 if you get the season pass.
Yep.
You know? That's 40 some odd minutes of a television show that's, you know, cheaper than a comic book. I mean, that just doesn't seem even realistic to me.
It'll be interesting to see where DC goes with this, with the Villains Month. It'll be interesting to see how many more of Marvel's books lose the $2.99 and get the $3.99 tag.
Mm-hmm. And how long can they keep up the double shipping pace is what I want to know.
Ooh, don't get me started.
I mean, seriously, those are, they'll rotate writers out pretty frequently. But we know DC does that when things are getting late. They might have two or three pages from another artist, you know, in the middle of the book or whatever. But I don't know. It's just we know that the overhead – pardon me. I'm full of fried chicken. Oh, crap. I'm tired. The overhead of putting them online is practically nil. So, you know, I don't – I just don't see how it can continue going.
And we know that to be a fact. We've been told that by a publisher that
– yeah.
Do online is that's why Monkey Brain does it the way they do it, because their overhead mm-hmm. is non-existent.
Yep.
And for DC or Marvel to claim otherwise is just dishonest.
Yeah, I mean, that should be fairly easy to figure out. I mean, there's no the pages are already scanned anyway. If you listen to enough stuff or read enough stuff about how artists do things. People are, you know, they used to have everybody sitting there in a bullpen and all working together, and, you know, it was all right there. But everybody's in all their different places all over the world, and they scan their stuff in and email it or put it on an FTP site or whatever. And, I mean, that's already going to, it's already going to be digital. So all you got to do is put it together and, whatever process they do for it, and it can't cost that much money. I mean, it's just storage, and storage is cheap.
And you'd think that Marvel and DC could afford to go cheaper.
The thing, though, is the and it's more now. There's what prices they set the books at. That's on them. But if you get down to it, though, they really can't make the digital comics cheaper all the time, or they'll drive the comic shops out of business eventually, don't you think?
I don't think they give a shit.
Well,
I don't know. They make enough yet, though, from their digital, like their comic shop sales are still, I would guess,
yeah.
the bulk of their sales, so...
I would think so.
If they
some of the big bookstores are starting to get comics now.
But they haven't published the numbers yet, ever.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I read something that Jim Lee had said that the I don't know if there was a direct correlation between print, but in the last year it said it's like quadrupled the sales from digital than it was the first last year or something like that.
Yeah, but if you're only selling one and now you're selling four, that's
yeah, it doesn't mean that much. But I'm trying to remember what I read. It was almost like the digital sales were so much more than the print. But,
well, we know that Injustice is the number one selling digital comic book
mm-hmm.
In America.
Mm-hmm.
But what that means, I don't know.
It means it's a tie into a video game. That's what it means.
Right, but I mean, but. What is that number? Is when they say it's the number one digital, does that mean it's selling 10,000 copies? Does that mean it's selling 100,000 copies? Does that mean it's selling, you know, a million copies? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't, for whatever reason, Comixology, per contract or something like that, will not divulge what that means.
I don't know. It's almost like they don't want to scare off the print. Well, I don't know. That's just my take on it. I mean, I might be completely off base, but
I'm sure when they feel they can get by without the print, then they'll be happy to.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, it's cheaper to do it online. Even if I mean, they're making more money online than they are in print. They have to be. I mean, that's just common. I mean, I don't see how that's even possible.
Well,
anything else.
Their excuse for keeping the book at $3.99 or putting it out at $3.99 initially was in support of the retail shops.
Right.
So the more of these that they put out as digital first, like Smallville, like Injustice, like Little Gotham, the more they put those out as digital first, the more that they are experimenting with the idea of cutting the middleman out, which is the retail shop.
Yeah.
Because those are all quality books. I mean, Smallville is a very popular book. Injustice is a good book. Little Gotham is an awesome comic.
Yeah, I didn't really care for the first one. It's not my kind of
thing. Oh, you are a man without a sense of humor.
I'm just, I don't know. I wasn't that impressed with it. I'll have to look at it again. I bought it.
Yeah, you will have to look at it again. I insist.
Okay. Jeez.
Go now. Yeah. No, okay, not now. You're in charge of the recording.
Yes, I am. So, but anyway.
On a plus note, but the good stuff is good.
Yeah. I guess that kind of, you know, expand your horizons every once in a while, I guess. I mean, far be it for me to say, I mean, we obviously are a DC somewhat centric, not as much lately, but definitely when we started. Podcast, and they've done things that kind of made us go look at other things, and there is great stuff out there if you look for it. Getting it might be another story. The digital is the best way.
Rory's a much better looker than I am, that's for certain.
Yeah, yes. he really finds stuff, doesn't he?
He's got better legs, too.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's funny. That is funny.
Not right now. They're all scabby and scarred, but...
Ooh, tell me more. Yeah.
Killing me. Hilarious. Well, let's see. Is that about it?
I think so.
Clearly.
Is that a big enough...
Scab talk, then yeah.
Because you add in the dump time that we had, there was a good couple minutes right there of vamping.
Dead air,
yeah. oh my. All right, okay. Let's, jeez.
Check this out real quick on Comixology. Speaking of John Byrne and Superman. All of his Action comic book run, when he was doing Superman teams up with so-and-so,
mm-hmm.
Back right after A Man of Steel, the comic book,
yeah.
Those are 99 cents right now.
Oh, very smart.
I liked a lot of those.
Yeah, oh, they were, except for the Superboy thing, I actually did enjoy those.
At the time,
I was incredibly pissed off, but now I can look back at them and see... the value of them. So,
John Byrne, Superman, Wowzers, Batman. Yeah, 22. There's 20 over 200 Superman comics currently on sale for 99 cents.
Oh, that's right. They're doing that 201 sale. Yeah.
Yeah, for the Superman Unchained.
That's another thing DC does. That's one thing DC does a hell of a lot better than Marvel does. When they have a sale. They have a freaking sale, you know? Does their Marvel Mondays, and there's like 10, 20 comics at the most. But they put the crap – they mark that shit down, you know? But anyway.
You could get Action Comic Books number one for a dollar.
That's amazing.
And you don't even have to go tear apart your attic and get it out of the insulation for it.
There you go. Yeah.
Ooh, there are some good team ups there.
Mm-hmm. I looked through some of those.
Yes, there are. Oh, and it's got the second part of The Man of Tomorrow. Alan Moore story.
That is an awesome, awesome story. I love that story.
Oh, look at that. It's got Metal Men. got the Green Lantern Corps, the one right when they were all on Earth together.
Yeah, yeah, good stuff.
All-Star Superman.
I still haven't read that.
Really? All of those for 99 cents each?
Yeah, you could get
All-Star Superman, really?
Yep.
Oh, son of a bitch.
$12, just, there you go.
Wow, all 12 issues of that for $12.
Yeah, the nephew just got through watching All-Star Superman on Netflix. He said it was really good.
Oh, look, you can get Crisis number one for free.
Well, good Lord, doesn't everybody have six copies of that already?
No, I just have one.
I've got the original. I've got one original, probably two signed by Perez. I have the Absolute, the original hardcover, and the trade of that.
Kingdom Come, all four issues, $1 each, right?
Seriously?
Yep.
Wow.
The Man of Steel.
Five or six issues of copies of that, too.
Man, and those great issues of Superman that were burned.
Wow. The one with the first Supergirl in it, too.
Birthright?
Birthright. Mm-hmm.
Birthright, I have those. That's a good series.
And my absolute favorite, actually, and again, I said it before, I'm not a big Superman fan, but Superman for All Seasons, the Loeb and what's his name together?
Tim Sale.
Sale, thank you. Mm-hmm. Got to rely on you guys for filling in.
Wow, they actually got the the newest Action Comics run on sale too. Wow. Okay. You know, I'm just gonna have to get that All Star Superman.
You'll
That's
like
just
it.
Way too cheap not to get.
I finally read the whole thing again.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There you go. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Trinity.
Yep.
Matt Wagner. Have you ever read that?
No.
God, pick that up. That is awesome. It's supposed to be their first team up. They first meet, you know, Batman and Superman already knew each other, but the first time they meet Wonder Woman and they end up working together. Oh, my God, that is good. I mean, it is one of the best stories he's done. You have to get that. 99 cents, you cannot go wrong.
Ooh, you know what's in here? The part of the Lightning Saga. Or, excuse me, yeah, Lightning
Saga.
Oh,
it is? Oh, boy. There you go. Saga.
The Lightning Saga.
Mm-hmm.
What?
And Legion of Superheroes.
Yep.
Oh, that one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Holy crap. There's a bunch of comics in here.
Yes. All right.
I gotta go. I gotta go buy all this stuff.
Yep, I gotta go, too. I gotta go to the bathroom is what I gotta do. I've been drink like a quart of tea today. And it just
on that note.
Yes, it just hit my ladder. Okay. As always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think. Or you can stop on by and pay us a visit on Facebook. Just do a search for us and you'll find us and join our little happy little dysfunctional family. Talk about various topics. I like to stir the pot frequently, throw in things and just let everybody hash it out. It's good
stuff. By the way, I'll be back to arguing soon. I just can't type fast enough, and it's too frustrating for me. So I'll be back.
I don't blame you. Yeah, that would be frustrating. But yeah. Where was I? Facebook. Then you can go. Oh God, they've got the Secret Identity series by Kurt Busiek. For the love of God, stop whatever you're doing right now and go buy it. Best. Busiek, oh, I love that freaking story. You gotta get it right now. I'll wait.
Okie dokie.
All right, I'm back. Or you can comment on the actual episodes at talesfromthelongbox.com/the show. And that is it for this week. We are out.
Thanks for putting up with us.